everyone, welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast and welcome back to our Fave Reads. My name is Mofi and I am your host for this episode, and with me is my co-host
Tiasa. Hey y'all, it feels like so long since our Fave
Reads. Yes, it's always so long. Yes, absolutely. So speaking of our favorites, I'll just give you guys a little bit of a synopsis of what this is. Every summer, we do like a summer series where we pick a couple of books for the summer and we read it and talk about it on the podcast. So kind of like a book club style vibe. Mm-hmm. So for this year, we've picked Queenie, Things Fall Apart, which is what we'll be talking about today. And what was the last one, TSA? A Stranger's Pose.
Yeah. Yes. I almost said something else, but we took it off the list.
So. Oh, okay.
A Stranger's Pose.
Yeah. So those are our three books, and that's our favorites. To stay connected with us and see like the list or see our past episodes. If you've read Queenie or want to hear us talk about Queenie, we are on wherever you find your podcast, so Apple Podcasts, Google Play, at our favorite things.
Our favorite thing. It's
been a while, y'all. We have like our fave whatever, so I never know what the podcast is called. So at our favorite things, and on Twitter and Instagram, we are at our fave pod. So please stay connected with us on our socials as well. All right.
Yeah.
T, are you ready to talk about Things Fall Apart?
No. However, but I'm excited for the conversation.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let's get into it. So we're talking about Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. And this book is, like, if you, I guess, Google it or whatever, it's one of the most prominent, like, novels of the times in African literature, even in literature in general. I guess, first of all, I'm curious on, I know you've read the book twice now. So when were you introduced to Things Fall Apart? And maybe how has your consciousness shifted in those three times or in the times that you've read it?
Yeah. I was introduced to it first as a child, like 9, 10 or something. It was in my house. Like, it was the kind of thing like my grandma had, my mom and all her siblings had read it. But growing up, I was not interested in African/Nigerian literature. And I feel like maybe a lot of other Nigerian kids can relate. We just read books written by white people. Like, it's just, I feel like that was just, you know, what was more popular anyway. So I just never paid attention to it. And then maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, I think, in college, I was like, I should read Things Fall Apart. So that was the first time I read it. And I absolutely did not remember anything. Like, I didn't even remember the synopsis when I picked it up this time around. I didn't remember what the book was about. And it's been so interesting reading it now in a time where I'm reading a lot more African literature, a lot more like Nigerian authors, and just being exposed to, I guess, different writing styles and ways that Nigeria and Nigerians and traditions are portrayed in literature. There's so many things in Things Fall Apart that I definitely did not pick up when I was reading, like, a couple years ago. Like, you know, I didn't even remember how heavy he discussed Igbo traditions and, like, gods and things like that. And, I mean, it makes perfect sense, but I absolutely remembered none of that. And anyway, I felt like I was learning all over again, which was nice.
I guess I need to put a caveat in case I don't remember to take out all of my coughing from this episode. But I'm not
bear with Murphy. She's not feeling well.
Yes. So try not to cough too much, but then I forget. I think I'm just talking to TSA and then I start coughing. I'm like, shit, this is a podcast. I think for me, I feel like I remember interacting with it in high school, in secondary school in Nigeria, but I don't really, like, I was kind of in similar veins as you. I wasn't really inclined to pick it up. I remember vaguely talking about it. Actually, I have a vivid memory almost in the library talking about it with somebody when I was in secondary school.
Really? Quick question. Did you guys, you know how like every year had a different literature book? Did you guys have Things Fall Apart?
I don't remember. Okay. Every year had a literature book?
Had like a couple, you took literature, right? Yeah, yeah. Every year had like a couple of literature books, but they changed it every year. Mm. Like, or they changed one, or they would change all four or three or something. Yeah. Anyway, no one in my year or above me or below me, I remember reading Things Fall Apart. And that was one thing I was quite interested in. Why we didn't include it, mm-hmm. but anyway,
maybe
another set had it.
Yeah, it seems very familiar to me though, but I don't recall. And then this was my first time actually like reading it. I feel like in general, yeah, it's interesting. I guess it's kind of sad that this is a book that's very important, and mm-hmm. the time in which Chinua Achebe was telling it, and the messages he was imparting, mm-hmm. and as young people that grew up in Nigeria and went through the Nigerian education system, and I'm sure a lot of people that did actually interacted with it, so maybe on some levels it's like a shot on our institution, but I'm sure that it's probably similar on many levels as well, that this is not a prominent, like this hasn't been a prominent part of education, you mm-hmm. know, and just even mm-hmm.
and a lot of the, you know, reading Things Fall Apart, I'm reminded of just how I think how intolerant Nigerians are, you know, like when it comes to traditional ways of being and living. And I think that Things Fall Apart for me was kind of a reminder that this is just another way of life, right? Mm-hmm. And this is just, you know, there was no need to come in and dismantle this. Anyway, I'm probably jumping ahead, but just like high level overview. There was no need then to dismantle it, and I think there's no need now to reject it.
What are you referring to?
I guess I'm referring to so things like, well, maybe things like the killing of twins was necessary to dismantle, but you know, things like people's personal religions, mm-hmm. you know, and the ways that people relate to their own God, or the many names that people have for God, or whatever that looks like to different people. Yeah, I think we're in an age where that's taboo. Like, you know, like reading that, I almost felt like I was reading about a different place, about something that doesn't exist anymore, because that's how it feels in Nigeria, because a lot of these traditional practices are so taboo, well especially with regards to religion,
right?
Are just seen as taboo. Like, it's not, you can't talk about it as part of everyday life, but it was, or it is for, probably still for many people.
I feel like it definitely is. Okay, so I let's get into it, and you've kind of started talking about it. There, we're going to do this very casually as well. We followed a similar format when we talked about Queenie. So I'm going to ask questions. Tessa and I are kind of going to go through like the different themes in and out of either being questions or just overall thoughts. So anyway, so one of the first things that this is me trying to breathe and not cough. Wow. As you're alluding to, religion and God was something that that was really talked about in Things Fall Apart. What do you, I guess for me, it was really interesting to, I agreed with you on seeing like, okay, this was a norm. It felt so, like reading it, it felt so normal. and it made me think about the erasure of traditional and indigenous religions everywhere, like in many parts of the world. Yeah, that was kind of something that really stood out to me at that point.
Yeah, same. And the like demonizing of it, right? Yeah. Because that's how you do it, is to make it seem evil, you know, like if you paint something as evil, then automatically like more and more people are just going to want to drop it. And yeah, so for me, it was interesting in the book, because I mean, I guess we all know like actually how this is how these things happen. Like in real life, white people came in with Christianity and demonized other religions. And so mm-hmm. while what Chinua Achebe is writing is fiction, it's very representative of fact. and I guess I wonder what a Nigeria would have looked like without the demonizing and the erasure of our traditional religions. Yeah.
Yeah. That's excuse me. That's for me, that's one of the biggest things. I'm like, I guess it's frustrating that on many levels it feels like there wasn't a choice. And it's interesting because in Things Fall Apart, we could see, I guess he really tried to show the transition or the process of mm-hmm. when the missionaries came, brought religion, and it was a mm-hmm. time where there was, I think, there was chaos or something was going on, I forget.
Yeah, I think it was there was some kind of conflict in the village or something. It was a good time for them to come in and cause trouble,
right. And on some level, when somebody comes on your land, begins to build all these things, on some level you can, I could see that as saying there's no choice, like these people don't have a choice, you know.
Exactly. and you know, you don't just come with, you know, they didn't just come with religion, they came with schools, they mm-hmm. came with trading, ways for people to make money. These are exactly. communities that already had ways in which they made money, in which they exchanged and bartered exactly. goods and services. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. And on another level, you see Okonkwo, I guess, being like, how are we choosing this? How do you see this and you're choosing? And I kind of like that, presenting all the variables and seeing how choice is so, like, I don't know, it's at the end of the day, I feel like nobody really chose that to happen, but there's the, I don't know, I just really liked that connecting piece of it all.
Yeah, I like the way he kind of wrote it in the sense, honestly, I think he tried to make it look as if they had a choice, because did they really, like mm-hmm. like you said, I mean, it's one thing to be the person who's, you know, is your home court, but it's another thing for people to be coming in with power,
yeah,
and with the ability to oppress you,
yeah,
you know, it's like immediately they had ways to throw people in jail, to torture mm-hmm. people. I mean, like
mm-hmm.
Okonkwo sliced off somebody's head, but that was one man against an army of people, you know. So at the end of the day, I feel like that's another thing that we need to recognize, is that a lot of these systems, they're put in place by people who have the power to do so. So while on one hand, in Okonkwo's point of view, everybody was being weak,
mm-hmm.
but what were they up against?
Yeah, exactly.
Were they just going to slice the heads of everyone? Like, you know, or that's not even the tribe doesn't even like violence, mm. you know, so were they going to just kill everybody that walked into their village? Anyway, yeah, it was interesting.
Ooh, sorry. Yeah, no, I'm trying to do multiple things at this time, but I agree with you. I was curious on how it connects to, and we've kind of talked about this, but I wonder if you have more to say on how it connects to what you've known or what you've been taught in relation to religion.
Just in the same vein, I think we're doing a disservice to mm-hmm. our traditions, man. Like, It completely challenges everything I know and also don't know.
Yeah.
like there's so much I have no clue about. And it's because nobody will talk about it because it's taboo. And if you're not Christian, then you're evil. Meanwhile, these are the things that maybe not make us who we are. But this is a part of our history. Honestly, for me, for that reason alone, we should embrace it. As long as it's not harming anybody, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, let's embrace the killing of twins.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's the point that with, even when you think about it, and even if you institute Christianity, and back in the day or whenever, when there were things that were very violent, that were like, we're not going to put that in our society today. Things evolve. So exactly. It's funny how we demonize like indigenous religions because we're like, whoa, all of these things are so barbaric, blah, blah, blah. But you've allowed your Christianity to evolve, but you're not going to allow other types of religions to evolve.
Exactly. Like, okay, and this is what I was thinking, right? And I don't know, you guys, bear with me. I'm just saying this on the fly right now. Would the I wonder if the tradition of killing of twins would have eventually died out. Look, I'm not saying that so many more kids needed to die before we figured ourselves out. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. Did a white missionary need to come in and pretty much demonize an entire culture for it to stop? I don't know. I feel like you can see in people like what was Okonkwo's son's name? Nwoye.
Yeah.
He was not okay with it, right? So I don't know. I just feel like there could have come a time where within the community they decide this is not okay. Like, there's no reason why kids should just be in the forest. Like, they didn't do anything wrong, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. It really, really begs the question if any of it was necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the answer is no. None of it was necessary.
Yeah.
None of the colonization was necessary, but...
Yeah.
Some people may disagree.
Yeah, it's true. Some people do. Yeah, for me, that the one thing that has kind of stood out in what I've been taught or how I've been socialized to think of religion and gods and all of these things is just, first of all, is that lack of choice. Mm-hmm. When I began to really understand the foundation of how Christianity came to African nations and to African like spaces, mm-hmm. That is something that I think it's important. I know a lot of people maybe don't want to think about it, but it's mm-hmm. very important to know, like this wasn't just it wasn't just because they had goodwill in their hearts. Nope. They weren't coming to spread no freaking gospel. It's a lot of oppression.
Clean as that, yeah.
It's not clean. And for me that has been very pivotal in understanding religion, but also in understanding who I am and what I'm connected to, you know. We have, I'll kind of leave it at that, but and reading it again, I'm reading how like community was from Chinua Achebe's perspective and what he's trying to paint community in Igbo communities, how they were. It's like, well, everything doesn't have to be this way, the way mm-hmm. of the West or whatever. But mm-hmm. but we've almost all been colonized anyway. But that's what it is. But they're forming everybody to be the same thing that we are. And it's about control. And it's anyways.
To me. Yeah. Okay. Okay, I don't know I'm jumping ahead because you guys, I talk all over the place. I'm off here, it has to reel me in. But, crap, where was it? Damn it, I'm so sorry, I lost it. Okay, maybe we'll come back.
Okay.
Let's continue.
I just wanted to really touch on the gods and the goddesses. I love some of just, like, I wrote down one and it was the goddess Annie. So she was the earth goddess and, like, the judge of morality and conduct.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like how, like, there are different types of gods. Yo, Christians don't come from... But there are different types of... I find it interesting, at least the way he wrote it. There are different types of gods, and they all, like, they govern the community, and they have specifics about them. I don't know. It just felt so... Mm-hmm. It felt so beautiful and very feminine, and...
It felt poetic. There are parts of this that felt poetic, and I felt the same way reading Akweke's Freshwater, and this reminded me a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And I was actually pulling some similarities between the gods that Akweke was mentioning and Chinua Achebe. I wonder if, I think he mentioned a god that started with an A, I don't remember, but I'm wondering if Akweke did a variation of it, or if that was an actual god that existed. I'm just like, wow, our own mythology is so interesting and it's so deep. People will have you believe that we're the ones without the deep histories and all of that, but like, we have these things, man, and I don't need them to be popular. I just need myself as a Nigerian to to know them and to understand them.
Yeah,
you know, like, and it's not just in Igbo land, it's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
mm-hmm. yeah. And shout out to like the feminine gods. Like, it's nice to hear power as women and as women that have control, you know.
Yes, however, I appreciate that. I also, okay, you know what? I've decided that Things Fall Apart is satire. Because, I mean, it has to be, right? I feel like it is.
Okay.
But boy, oh boy, was I heavily offended by the anti female sentiment. It's like everything that was wrong with the men in the story were female traits, were like attributed to females. Mm-hmm. You know, he's sensitive, is like a woman. He's weak, is like a woman. Like anything that was considered a negative was attributed to women. But then also recognizing that women are like the mothers of the earth and things like that. I just, yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to hot take. Please, y'all, don't come for me. I wonder how much of that was satire and how much of it was Chinua Achebe's own biases. Okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. I think I was trying to read up about that while I was prepping for this, and I believe I was reading someone that was saying that Chinua Achebe was kind of writing about the context of the times then.
That's how I was reading it.
So essentially maybe that's how those mm-hmm. were the things that those communities mm-hmm. believed then, or the Nigerian community or the Igbo community, whatever. Mm-hmm. So trying mm-hmm. to, maybe that was his commentary on.
That's what I decided. So please, nobody should come for me. I'm not saying Chinua Achebe was misogynist. I don't know if he was or he wasn't. I'm just like, yeah. Anyway, recognize that you're probably reading satire / social commentary.
Yes.
Wow, yes. Women suffered.
Suffered damn. So much in this book. And I think we should, let's talk about that.
Because it also goes to say that, like, while I think it's fair to have a balanced conversation about the way things were and the way communities were. It's like, while on one hand, yes, these communities were thriving and these people were intelligent and they had their own governments and whatever and their own, you know, ways of doing things, there were also things that were not okay, you know? Example, the killing of twins. Example, the ways that women were treated.
Yeah. Sorry, excuse me. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it was just, I agree with you. It was hard to read because you're like, wait, what?
It was hard to read, bro. And maybe that was the point. It was really hard to read.
Yeah. I remember one thing that stood out to me, I think it was kind of earlier, when one of Okonkwo's wife hadn't cooked and she went to go get her hair or something. And I was just like, wow, this is... And it's not far-fetched, I guess, so...
maybe that's also it, right? It's like you're reading this and it feels like you're reading about 2019.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's the problem. Sorry, Chinua Achebe, no disrespect. I was triggered. Sorry.
And it's a good point you make that a lot of times we see these thriving societies and on the foundation of these societies are women, and women are the ones that are building up our societies, but you don't see that reflected. You don't see that reflected in how they're being treated. You don't see that reflected in positions,
in leadership,
mm-hmm. none of that stuff. So mm-hmm. it's juxtaposing or whatever those two things together is wild.
Yeah, I mean, you could write another book, you could attempt to write another book with the same trying to critique the same things that Chinua Achebe was critiquing, and you'd probably be writing the exact same things. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this was the life for women, and this is still the life for many women, and even if it's not their lived experience, it's the way that they're just seen as well. You know, it's the way that we're engaged within society. It's like when there's a problem with the when there's an issue with the baby, it's the woman. Didn't we just have a whole argument on Twitter about whether or not a mother can go out to the club and leave her baby at home? The fact that we even have to be like, is she allowed or not? It's just, you know, is indicative of the way that women are seen in society.
And I guess in Things Fall Apart, when you think of it's, I found it interesting talking about Izinne, who was, no, her name wasn't Izinne, Izima.
It wasn't Izima.
Izima.
I feel like they maybe mean the same thing. Igbo people tell me Izinne and Izima. I feel like they mean the same thing. Mm. I don't know. Tell me.
Just as an Igbo scholar now.
I am. Already enough Chino Achebe to be a scholar.
Izima and Nwoye. It was like, it was just because a lot of the things that Chinua Achebe, that Okonkwo liked or disliked were very gendered and very like sexist, because he found, he was like, Izima should have been a boy, like she's all of these good things and all of these, she's so determined, she's blah blah blah, and Oye, he's sensitive and he's weak and he's all those things, and it's I guess it's interesting how we see attributes that women and men and all peoples, regardless of your gender, possess, but the good things that are viewed as masculine traits, and then the things that we think are negative are viewed as feminine traits,
and the things that we view as positive masculine traits, you often can apply the same to females, because they are just automatically viewed at, like, why should you be assertive? Why should you be, you know, all of the things? Why is it my girl? It's problematic. Why is she a girl? Because she's displaying all these traits of a boy, so she might as well be a boy. But she can't be a girl and display all of those traits.
Yeah. Oh, because then that will make it a bad thing.
I don't want to hear anybody coming from feminist, y'all. Chinua Achebe called y'all out years ago. So can we just have constructive discussions about this and not act like, quote unquote, Twitter feminists are the first people to bring up these concerns?
Yeah. I agree.
Just my little two cents.
Excuse me, y'all. I in my notes I wrote Okoko is so misogynistic. I'm like, I feel like that's the least of the things, but like, it was just how I felt reading the damn book. I was so stressed.
Okay, I don't even agree that that's the least of the things, babe. Like, Okonkwo was, it was just too apparent. It jumped right at me that there are so many times that I closed the book and I'm like, this is actually too much. This has gone from, I mean, it's not even just, ingrained, that's the way you were brought up. It's now like violent, and he has no qualms just like beating his wives and their children.
And their children.
Like everybody is just up for beating.
Like what? Like what's happening here?
Yeah, he's very misogynistic and what do you think, this may be not the best way to phrase this question, but what did you think of Okonkwo's character? Not necessarily the way Chinua wrote him. Well, yeah, I guess the way Chinua wrote him. Like, what do you think of the character?
Oh, he was so annoying.
He was very, very
I don't know why words.
I'm trying to remember specifics.
I found him to be, I guess, an interesting character because he's an embodiment. Maybe he was like an embodiment of your quintessential like Nigerian or Igbo man or whatever. I'm going to jump ahead and I guess thinking about how the book ended and if you're listening to this podcast, you should have read the book because I'm guessing that's the point of this, right?
Yeah, there's no way to talk about the review a book or discuss it without spoilers.
Okay, so
then there's no point discussing it.
Spoiler alert, if you're trying to not do this, bounce out in like 3, 2, 1. Okay. But Okonkwo, like, committing suicide it's hard to wrap, not hard to wrap my head around him as a character, but I understand what Chinua Achebe was doing with it, but I don't know how to articulate it, I guess. Maybe that's why.
So for me, well, the way that I saw it was, and I took it very, I almost took it at face value, which is, I was like, he would rather die than see his community die. Like, and see pretty much everybody around him die, maybe not physically, but dead to him and alive to the white man and his God.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I felt, yeah.
It's that is so powerful. It's so mm-hmm. powerful because people don't understand. A lot of times people don't understand, and I'm not living it, and maybe it's removed or maybe it's not, who knows. Mm-hmm. But like, people don't seem to understand the impact of colonization on people. Yeah. People just think it was something that happened and like, look mm-hmm. at where we are at now and all of these things. But literally, it was literal violence. And yes, Okonkwo is fictional, but it's many ways true that people couldn't live through this. And it was so oppressive, you know?
Yeah. Sorry. I was just remembering, like, what you said triggered. Okonkwo is fictional, but I don't know if you all have read about what is it called? Oh my God, I don't want to say it wrongly, but essentially the group of slaves who drowned themselves, and I believe that they were able drowned themselves in the river because they'd rather have. Well, I'm not going to talk right. for them, but what I would assume is they're like, death better than this oppression and better than this colonization and better than whatever violence the white man was going to inflict on them, you know. It's just so, anyway, so part of your points, it's just like, it's not this easy, but people could have just been left alone. Or at the very least, like, not be treated like they're not human beings.
Yeah.
You know, like, they were living these people were living their lives. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. Like, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. People were living their lives. They were not, they didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
And they certainly didn't ask for it with all of the resulting violence. And this is not just unique to Nigeria. This is a number of countries on the African continent.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very heinous crimes in the name of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, development or whatever.
Yeah. And all over the world too. All over the world as well.
Yeah, yeah. And continues, right, to this day.
Yeah. Okay. I guess maybe we should move on. But okay, just quickly, last question on that. What do you think of Chinua Achebe using, like, ending with that and having that be the end of Okonkwo, I guess?
Do I know what I think about it? I think it was very deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was profound. I would want to probably reserve the rest of my not fully formed thoughts.
Mm.
Yes. But do you have
thoughts? I have not really. But I think kind of everything we've said, the message was what stood out to me of what he was trying to pass across. Mm-hmm. It was a lot. I was like, oh shit, that's what Okonkwo is gonna do.
Yeah, bro. I thought at first, I thought they were going to just find him, like Okonkwo was hiding. Then I was like, Tessa, you've been reading this whole book and you thought Okonkwo was hiding.
Mm-hmm.
He's not hiding from anybody.
Yeah.
He's not scared enough to hide. He would have just sat with his machete and sliced a couple people's heads off.
And that made me sad.
It did make me sad. It did make me really, really sad. And that was the end of the book, y'all.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you're here, if you skip past the spoiler alert, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how the book ended, and you're left to kind of ponder the implications of everything that went on in the novel.
Yes. Speaking of, and I kind of want to tie it back to Nwoye as Okonkwo's child and somebody that, like, that, what's the word, converted to Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of him as a, well, what did you think of him as a character, even in general?
Where do you fit into his community, please? you know when you're just different, like, yeah. Izima was different, Nwoye was different. Like, he was not there was a very kind of rigid, very rough way of doing things in Umofia, or I can't remember the community. And Umoye was not about it. So I was not surprised that he was the first person to, like, convert, one of the first people to convert to Christianity, because I think for him it just represented, maybe even represented just a way to get out of there, man.
Yeah.
You know? A different experience.
Mm-hmm.
Way was not loving his life.
He wasn't.
Yeah. And I think by the time he converted to Christianity, Ikemefuna had died.
Yes.
Had been murdered.
Yes.
Yeah. Y'all, nah. He was not doing it.
Yes. And I mean, and I think Chinua Achebe was saying in the book that all the things that the people were preaching, like, okay, like, life, there's fair, and there's justice, and there's God, and there's all of these things. That was what the, like, he was kind of waiting to grasp onto something like that.
He was waiting to hold on to something like that. It had been on his heart. He just been like, this, I know there's something, you know, that's not okay about the killing of twins. Like, there's, and all the other, you know, things. Anyway, yeah, he was waiting. He just held on.
And that that was one of Okonkwo's points of, I guess, he was very disappointed in that act. He's like, how would you, like, it's a major sign of weakness at this point.
I found it interesting how speaking of the Umoye converting, how the elders were talking about, I believe they were discussing how, I guess, they had foresight, you know, right, that this would mean the end of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that interesting because, on one hand, I thought they were being dramatic, and then, lo and behold.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess I just think about parents today and how they're like, no, you have to do things like we did them, or then what does it all mean? And on one hand, you recognize that you don't have to do things the ways that your parents did. But in what, like, where do you draw the line, I guess?
Right.
And when is it, when does it now become, like, detrimental to an entire culture?
Mm-hmm. Questions. You made me, I'm reading this book, Educated, by Tara West. I forget.
You're reading Educated?
Yeah.
Oh, it's been saved on my audiobooks for the longest time. Gosh. Mm. It's like 13 hours. I need to listen to it.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Wait, was this my point? Because what I was thinking about is when I think of Okonkwo and him being disappointed in his child leaving their community, their religion, and converting to Christianity. And I'm thinking, like, now in today's time, and maybe for me growing up with a Christian parent, it's like, it's vice versa is what will be happening. Like, my parents would be like, how are you leaving Christianity and trying to explore
something
you
else.
Know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny how, like, all these things have, like, the times have turned on some level. And with Educated as well, they were very, like, embedded in this, I guess, Mormon type Christian evangelical situation, and them leaving that is a cause of disappointment. And it's funny how it's just, at the end of the day, when we think about it, all of these things are beliefs, you know. One doesn't have to be oppressive, that's standing out to me, I guess, because I'm currently reading that book.
That's the way it stood out to me. You articulated it perfectly. That's the way it stood out to me when I was reading. It's like, does it always have to be one or the other?
I agree with that. I want to also talk about Izima as well.
Izima, dear Banje.
Yes. It was so, like, it was nice reading about another, I guess, although we didn't read it from Izima's perspective, after reading Freshwater, as Tessa has kind of had alluded to, and seeing the similarities, but how I guess in Things Fall Apart, they were trying to get rid of like, they had rituals and processes for when things like this happened.
Yes.
While in Freshwater, it was more of an introspective feel. Well, yeah.
Yeah, I found myself because I read Freshwater prior, I found myself wanting to hear from Izima's perspective. I found myself wanting to, like, the way that Akwaeke wrote it, I found myself wanting to read Izima from first person, right?
Yeah.
Read her POV. Yeah. What was I going to say? But so, something that really stood out to me for the Ogbanje, and I think I've read this in another Nigerian book, was the EU. Yo, please, that it blew my mind. You mean, when did she bury the stone that she was able to find it?
And she knew, yeah, because they came to ask her for it, right?
Yeah, and I legit thought that it was going to be that, oh, she really had no clue because she's not actually an Ogbanje and, like, Ogbanjes don't actually exist.
Yep.
Hello. Apparently they do because she found it.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it just in the context
yes,
of the
book.
Yes, yes. I think I was just shook. Yeah.
I thought...
I was like, wait... Wow.
I thought that as well. I thought she was going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I believe that maybe she's still an Ogbanje, but maybe it's something that she does, she's not aware of. Like, there's no consciousness of when it's happening. But,
like Akwaeke.
But Akwaeke was, different. I guess in Akwaeke's book, they were telling us, oh, it's true. On some level, it almost seemed that when those shifts were happening, they weren't really aware. Or the different...
Yes, it seemed that they weren't aware.
Or connect, I don't know. Maybe that's a freshwater discussion.
That's a freshwater discussion. Yeah, we get into it now.
But in this case, I was like, oh, wow, this is dope, but wild that she knows where it is. I didn't want her to know where it is because I felt like they were going to go take it from her, though.
Yeah, I didn't also want to find it because I was like, ah, she's dead.
Yeah.
She's dead, they're going to kill her.
Yes.
But I guess finding it was just confirming that she's an Ogbanje and then maybe she won't come back to torment. Okay, I'm not sure. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, y'all. What we're going to do is we're going to wrap this up, be done with this portion. There's so much more we need to talk about, but... we're low on time right now and stuff, so we're going to give you guys a semi-short episode for part one of our Things Fall Apart discussion, and then in part two, we'll talk more about the kids, so maybe talk more about Izima, Ikemefuna, which is also a very important part of the book.
Very important part.
Talk more about colonization. Now, I know we talked about it in a religion perspective, but I'm sure there's more, even in connection of how Chinua Achebe wrote the whole book and stuff like that. And stories were also very important in the book.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So we'll talk about that as well. So those are things to look forward to in our next episode. But yeah, thanks for sticking with us. Tessa, is there any other thing we need to cover?
No, you guys, Mufi's just gonna tell you where to find us.
Yes, y'all can find us on Twitter and Instagram. As I said, we are at Our Fave Pods, and on wherever you find your podcast, Our Favorite Things Podcast. That's it. TSA, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter and Instagram. Not to come for me, please. I was not slandering him. I literally like want to meet him. I love him. So shut up already. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TIIESE, and also on my blog, sameforprince.com.
And y'all can find me on Twitter. I'm at Miss Badmouth, that's MSBADMOS, and on my bookstagram, Mufi's Book Collection. And y'all should rate, review, subscribe. We want to see those ratings. Until next time, don't forget to find something to be grateful for.